Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Truth News Radio Australia on the 24th of November 2010. My name's Hereward Fenton. I've got an interview coming up with Chris Emery, a guy we had on a couple of weeks ago who's made a film about Oklahoma. And Chris is from the US and he's heading back there soon. We're going to have a talk about the ongoing debacle over body scans and groping and what it means for the US Constitution, and in a more universal sense, what it means for people in all countries where these methods may well be introduced very soon. Now, on the international stage, we have, of course, the ongoing story from Korea Today, where it was said that North Korea attacked South Korea. However, I have to point out, and I have here some quite convincing news stories that indicate that that is actually an incorrect presentation of the events. The reports that I heard earlier today were, in the morning, was quite simply that North Korea had attacked South Korea with artillery. But if you do a lot of searching and you go through all of the possible variations of search that you can do, what you'll find eventually is you'll come up with articles that actually give you a bit of a different picture. And here's actually one from ABC Australia. South Korea conducting drills before the North fired. South Korea says it was conducting regular military drills off the West Coast before North Korea started firing dozens of shells, but that its firing exercises did not aim to the North. Well, folks, if you actually investigate the history of the Korean War, you'll find that it's so intimately bound up with the tensions between East and West that followed the Second World War, and that it's kind of like an artifact of a power structure which came out of the powers that existed at that time. And I don't know what's going to happen, but what I and I certainly would not say that there is anything great about North Korea. I mean, it's a country that's mired in poverty and has a horrendously oppressive government. But South Korea is a country which is so heavily controlled and manipulated by US interests that you need to look at the North and the South of Korea as being pawns in a game, the great game, the game of control that imperialist forces have been exercising for many, many years. I think the other thing that is very clear is that this event has all the hallmarks of a staged event, similar to a Gulf of Tonkin incident, similar to many other incidents which have been the triggers for war in the past. In fact, the war that Japan launched against China was triggered by a similar type of false flag event, which led to the invasion of Manchuria and the huge massacres in Nanjing. Of course, the Reichstag fire and many events that have preceded huge military adventures have all had this this signature to them. So, I mean, I certainly hope that this does not lead to such a situation, but it is beginning to shape up as that kind of situation. Okay, moving on with some Australian news now. Back to our favourite topic for the week, No sexual feelings at Australian airports. There will be no intimate, offensive or indecent physical examinations of air travellers using Australian airports when body scanners are introduced in the new year. This is a story from blogs.crikey.com.au. A spokesman for the Minister for Infrastructure and Transport, Anthony Albanese, confirmed that Australia would not go down the same path as the US Transportation Security Administration, which has caused an uproar at American airports by requiring physical genital area touching and feeling searches of those passengers and pilots who refuse to submit to revealing imaging X-ray scans before boarding aircraft. The spokesman said that a final decision on the technology to be used initially at a number of Australian international air terminals had not been made, but the selection would seek out the devices that produced the least possible amount of radiation and coded the data so that operators could only see stick figures on which suspicious objects would be identified by symbols. The scanners would be used for secondary rather than primary screening. Plain Talking, that's the publication I'm reading here from, understands that instead of ordering persons who refuse body scanning to submit to a hands-on procedure, the Australian way will be to simply deny boarding to the passenger who will be told to leave the terminal. Well, that's charming, isn't it? Very, very advanced, very freedom-oriented approach there. We'll be getting into the subject of the dignity or otherwise of these procedures again with Chris and Josh Jackson when they join the show shortly. I just want to point out that we have a very serious problem to deal with here in Australia. I mean, this story clearly indicates where we are headed with the procedures in Australia, and we are headed into a situation that is as bad or worse than what we've seen in the US. And anyone who thinks that it's just something you're going to have to accept or get over because, you know, it has to be done for your safety and, you know, don't worry about it, you know, don't be embarrassed. It's just something you've got to learn to get over. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into that mentality, that mindset, because this is the type of thing you don't want to just get over. You don't want to just normalize it or accept it. And I don't care whether it's being felt down or someone actually staring at you naked. You know, those are the two options. You know, someone staring at you naked or squeezing your body parts. Now, a really interesting observation I'd like to make is that in prisons, and I've got an excellent video here that shows the type of search that is done in a prison from the United States, and it's actually a training video, they actually don't touch at all. They do a complete strip search where the prison guard uses a flashlight but doesn't touch the prisoner, and the prisoner does all the nasty stuff. You know, you can imagine, you know, spreading the cheeks, getting in every possible position so that the guy doing the search can be sure there isn't some funny business going in there, you know, in certain orifices. So the question of whether we're touched or whether we're not touched, you know, is not the issue here. The issue, of course, is submitting to total indignity and setting a precedent for a type of behaviour that is actually part of a slippery slope. It's a stage in a progression, an evolution towards increasing tyranny, and the final stage of that is where you're being marched out in the night with your hands behind your head, naked, and you know you're being marched into a ditch and you get shot. That's, you know, if you're wondering, you know, where does it all lead? Where will it all end? When you have that happen to you, you'll know, okay? You'll understand what all the steps were for, how they gradually got you to accept more and more tyranny, and then finally you'll realize, oh, yeah, that's what it was all about. Yeah, but wouldn't it be better to realize it now and at least make a stand, at least say, well, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to go through this. I'm not going to go through the scanner. And I really hope that everyone listening to this broadcast can make that decision for themselves, especially, you know, in your own country. It's a bit harder when you're traveling overseas, but you can still opt for the pat-down. But in your own country where you're a citizen and you've got the full rights and the full protection of your citizenship, I think that's where you have to make the stand and say, absolutely not. I will not be scanned. I will not be squeezed. I will not be violated. So we'll bring you more on that subject very soon. And just to highlight that issue, I just want to point out that body scans in Melbourne have actually been commonplace since the beginning of this year. I've got a story here from February 2010. Body scan for Melbourne commuters in knife blitz. Now, of course, this is not a full body x-ray scan, but understand that the metallic object scan is a precursor to the full body x-ray scan. For many years, the only type of scan they ever had in airports was the metal detector scan. Then the full body x-ray scans, the millimeter wave, and then the backscatter devices were developed and marketed heavily by former head of the Department of Homeland Security, Michael Chertoff, after, you know, being part of the alarmist, you know, call for new security measures. Turned out that Michael Chertoff was actually a shareholder of the company that manufactures the machines. Then, of course, gradually they're rolling out the machines in response to new horrific attacks like the underwear bomber, you know, attacks that are so hopelessly incompetent that there's no way that anything could have ever occurred because, you know, the person tries to ignite some sort of plastic explosive with a match and, you know, you can't even do that. It's not even physically possible. But the threat of that then brings in the next step of technology. So the body scanners will quite likely come to train stations. We've seen the precedent here, and I'll just read you the story. A high-tech portable body scanner will be used to search commuters at an inner Melbourne railway station in a second blitz on people carrying knives. Victoria Police will trial the Gate Scan P metal detector to search commuters at the North Melbourne railway station between 5 p.m. and 9 p.m. today. Commuters will be chosen at random to walk through the metal detector, similar to those at an airport, and if shown to be carrying metal, will be searched with a handheld scanner. So it's exactly the same scenario. People chosen at random. Of course, you know, if you're chosen at random and you don't go through the scanner, then you become a problem. And I'm going to highlight here a story that just came to my attention today of a man who was put through one of these random checks. This is another one that's probably going to go viral, and it's really, really interesting because this particular guy got into a very long and complex argument, and this is in the United States, about the constitutionality of this, of being forced to either go through the scan or the physical feel-up. And I'm actually going to play to you a segment from there. So I'll just get that going now. It's actually quite long, and some of the parts are a bit hard to hear, and there's a lot of background noises. But the segment that's the most interesting is the one I'm going to play to you now. And what's actually happened is the man's been detained coming into the United States. This is not getting onto a plane. This is actually coming off a plane and having already gone through customs. He is being asked to go through a security check, and he's objecting to that on principle, on principles of the Constitution, and he's basically saying, look, I don't want to be scanned and I don't want to be groped. You've got no reason. Do you have probable cause? You know, they don't have probable cause. He tries to get them to cite the legal justification they have for doing this particular search, and they can't do it. And in the end, they actually have to let him walk out of the airport. But some of the exchanges between this passenger and the TSA and the police are quite incredible. The man concerned, I'm just trying to find his name here for you, blogger Matt Kernan. And there's an article here from Prison Planet, actually Infowars.com, blogger Matt Kernan was able to bypass both the naked body scanner and invasive TSA pat-down procedures during his return to the United States, proving that both measures are completely unconstitutional and are creating a precedent for a total shake-up of airport security. So we'll just play that for you right now.
The only other option we have is to get patted down by us. If you'd rather do that, if you'd rather TSA do their pat down, they're basically the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay, so just so I'm personally clear, if I don't plan on doing this, just hypothetically, if I were to go through, just walk through, I would be arrested.
Probably, yes.
Yes.
The only option that they've went up all the way to the top of TSA standards, which this is TSA's deal.
Yeah.
Okay, you're in their area. We're just a regular police officer. You break any kind of the laws or whatever, or basically bypass that screening, yeah, you would be arrested.
I would be arrested by who?
By us.
By you?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't want to get arrested, obviously.
I'm just
doing sort of a logical backwards.
So the least
invasive thing that I can do, to me it seems like if I hadn't been picked up for the backscatter, I could have gone through the metal detector and then been on my way.
Now, do you know why you were picked? I have no idea.
It's random as far as I know. No, I hadn't even gone through anything yet. So that would be one option.
Right.
And if they say that that's not an option, if they say I would be arrested even if I passed the metal detector without any worries, if I walked through and it didn't go off, and I would still be arrested?
No.
I mean, if we want to get...
If TSA can clear you, then you're fine with us.
Okay.
We're here right now because...
Yeah, basically, if TSA says, then you'll arrest me. So it's TSA's decision point at this in this region.
Right now, this is TSA's
okay.
ball game.
Okay.
We're just here to try and sort it out.
Okay. I understand. I thank you. I'm sorry that you have to be here.
No.
I don't know, maybe.
Part of our job.
Okay. So would it be possible...
To figure out what's easiest for you to get you out of here.
Okay. So would it be possible for this discussion to happen with TSA so that I can run through options with them at the same time?
I don't know what other options I gave you because I wasn't here now.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Just if I could talk to... Well, if I could talk to both of you at the same time.
You want Delta over here, too? I mean, they're not really involved.
If they want to come. let's bring Delta over, too.
Can I ask what your question is?
Yeah, I'm going to ask it as soon as Delta comes.
Basically, what it boils down to is we're at the point now is if you want to leave, I think it's pretty much we're going to have to take you out.
Yeah.
I mean, not arrest you, but we'll search you, put you in the car.
Take me out as an escort.
Exactly.
I'll clarify as well.
We'll escort you out. I'll take you to my car. I'll search you first. Take you to my...
Look, I'll just leave it there. The whole thing is just fascinating. And there's a lot of really interesting points of logic and semantics that they get into. At one point, he's basically asking if he's being detained. And they say, no, you're not being detained. And he says, well, if I'm not detained, then I can walk out. And they say, no, you can't walk out. And he says, well, if I can't walk out, then that means I'm being detained. And they say, no, you're not being detained. And, you know, there's just this incredible Kafkaesque scene there for a while. And then, of course, he's being told by the police that, you know, he can refuse the TSA pat-down, but then as a condition of that, the police are going to have to escort him out, and as a condition of that, the police are going to have to give him a pat-down. And, of course, he says, well, my whole reason for being here is that I don't want to have a pat-down. you got to laugh. But, I mean, it's serious. But, you know, all these twisted, convoluted... arguments are just ridiculous, and they are illegal. They do lack a basis in constitutional law, and this guy is actually highlighting it. Now, you know, in Australia, we're probably going to have to approach this from whatever is the best angle from the point of view of our own laws, and we really need to look into that. So I hope we do. Now, just on another point briefly before we go to our interview, it looks as if Ireland is in very serious trouble financially. Ireland fears civil unrest as the bank crisis deepens. Trade union leader warns of riots if government imposes further draconian cuts to the public sector. One of Ireland's biggest trade unions warned, and this is from several days ago, actually the 20th of November, that was from Saturday, one of Ireland's biggest trade unions warned that the nation was on the brink of civil unrest as government officials negotiated a multi-billion dollar euro bailout for the country's ailing banks. The Technical Engineering and Electrical Union said further draconian public sector cuts over 4 years could lead to street disorder. Now, at the same time as we have that going on, we have a movement in Europe to actually create a run on the banks, and I'll try to get that up for you in a moment. This is all part of an evolving financial crisis that is actually becoming quite extreme at the moment. And I've just got another article here loading. Eric Cantona's call for bank protest sparks online campaign. Thousands of French protesters have taken up the former Man United footballer's call for a mass cash withdrawal. As students and public sector workers across Europe prepare for a winter of protests, they've been offered advice from the archetypal footballer rebel Eric Cantona. Cantona was once a famous exponent of direct action against adversaries on and off the pitch. The 44-year-old former footballer recommended a run on the cash reserves of the world's banks during a newspaper interview and that was also filmed. The interview has become a YouTube hit and has spawned a new political movement. So this is all a sign of something that's coming that's quite dramatic. And we're not getting clear warnings of it from the media. We're getting these warning signs, but of course the people who should be telling us what's going on are continuing to lie about it. So I have to break now. We've got our interview coming up for the night. Please stay with us. Here's a new song by Mike Adams, Don't Touch My Junk.
Let's get this on, about to miss my flight. Come on.
I went to the airport to catch my flight. The TSA put me in the naked body scanner line.
I don't want radiation, so I opted out. But when they grabbed my man junk, I couldn't help myself. I had to shout, I had to shout, I had to get my message out. I said, my junk. Don't touch my junk. I'll have you arrested. You touch my junk. Don't touch my junk. This ain't your lovely lady love. I don't want to be molested. So don't touch my junk.
So I went back wearing a Scottish kilt. I bought 3 Viagra to make sure my stuff would not wilt. When it came my turn for the nasty pat down, they thought I had a weapon, so they made me pull it out.
Can't touch this.
Don't touch my junk.
Can't touch this.
I'll have you arrested. You touch my junk. Don't touch my junk. Let go of my heart, my heart, my heart. I don't wanna be molested, so don't touch my junk.
Now who put these morons with a badge in charge and gave them the right to molest us in the name of security?
Don't touch my junk.
Can't touch this.
Don't touch my junk.
Can't touch this.
They X-rayed my bags and then they battled down my elephant trunk. My shorts and went down my pants. This ain't romance, no, it's the TSA hustle. They felt me up while they put me down. They squeezed my butt in that TSA hustle.
Oh, this is happening in the land of the free. Alex Jones was right. I'm gonna smuggle a copy of the Bill of Rights next to my body, so when they reach down there, they get a handful of Fourth Amendment.
Lordy, I declare big brothers in my underwear. Fly to London, fly to France, big sis checking out my underpants. Up my shorts,
can't touch,
went down my pants.
Can't touch this,
this ain't romance. No, it's the TSA hustle. They felt me up like they were my personal physician. Put your hands in the air in the surrender position. This ain't security, and this ain't sex.
Can't touch some other kind of tyranny.
Next time you fly, just tell them, don't touch my.
Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free. Welcome back to the show. And tonight on Truth News, it's my great pleasure to have Chris Emery back on the show. Chris joined us a few weeks ago to discuss his film, A Noble Lie, which is about the Oklahoma bombing. And tonight we're going to just have a bit of a general chat about what's going on in the world. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me on, Herwood. It's a pleasure to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you on board again. And Josh, you're joining us from your cyber lair.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, look, guys, just before we get into some of the topics that are really on my mind at the moment, I do want to have a quick look at the North Korean situation because, this situation really looks like it could go ballistic or it could just be nothing. We don't know at this stage. I mean, you know, there was an attack that occurred earlier today. It was initially reported that the North had attacked the South in an unprovoked way. But if you do a bit of Googling and searching, you'll actually find, and I did manage to dig up an article from the ABC Australian News confirming this, that the South Koreans have admitted that they actually were firing first. But the South Koreans are saying it was just a drill. But, I mean, you know, we had this previous attack about a month ago, which, again, had very dubious signs about it that made it look like it was one of these sort of provocations. And it just looks like the sort of thing that happens when one side is trying to provoke a war. You always want the enemy to attack you first so that you can then strike them back with full force. So what's your take on that, Chris?
Well, it's rather confusing. I was somewhat surprised to hear about it today since the South Koreans were extending humanitarian efforts. So I really don't know what motive the South would have to provoke, you know, such a claim that the North says that happened. If they are in fact doing military exercises, then so be it. But it would not be in the best interest. In fact, it would be very disingenuous on the South Koreans' part to do something like that. So at first blush, I really have no reason to believe the North Korean claim. They've never had any credibility in the past, so why should we, you know, give them any credibility at this point? I take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I tend to agree with that analogy, but at the same time, I really, you know, it's hard to know what's going on. I mean, I agree with Chris that really what – you know, South Korea is doing well. You know, they've got a fantastic shipping industry. They've got a fantastic industry in general. Their economy is pretty good. The only thing I can see is that the global banking elite somehow back to their old games because of they're wanting some sort of a war as a distraction from the European crisis and the American financial crisis.
Well, yeah, let me just clarify, like, my view of these powers. I mean, North Korea is an impressive regime, terrible pace, there's terrible poverty there, there's no freedom, it's appalling. But of course, we've seen this history of countries like that being kind of used because they are useful to be like that within this kind of empire building, within this imperialistic game. It's quite often that these type of countries are maintained in that way. And if you look at the actual geopolitical situation between North and South Korea, it is an artifact of the Cold War. The whole thing it evolved out of what happened at the end of the Second World War. And mm-hmm. and of course, North Korea has been propped up by China and the Soviet Union at one time, but they've also been given help by the Americans. I mean, the Americans gave them nuclear technology. That's actually confirmed. Now, but of course it seems ridiculous. And then why would you do that? And why would you then want to attack them? But every war that I've seen that this imperialistic regime has gotten involved of has been a similar type of situation. I mean, look at Afghanistan. I mean, Afghanistan was a failed state. It was a terrible place where people were being persecuted. And of course, the emphasis there was it was a country that we could all say, oh, it's just so terrible, you know. So you can just do whatever you want. But what do they want? They want to exercise warfare, because in exercising warfare, there's a whole lot of people who benefit. There's a whole lot of people who make money. There's just industry after industry benefits from this act of brazen, you know, killing and destruction. And that's my take on it. Anyway, I'll stop now.
I think you're spot on, Harold. Coming from the United States and Oklahoma, one of the highest military industrial complex per capita earning states in the United States, just behind California and I believe Texas, you see the machinations and the psychology. It's rather perverse and completely upside down and a mirror image of what you and I and Josh would think would be common sense. So to have this brew up today, in one sense, I'm not surprised. I'm just rather disappointed, because they did back to the old shenanigans. You go back to a playbook even in the first Gulf War, and you saw how Iraq had every right to attack Kuwait, because Kuwait was, in fact, stealing the oil through slant drilling, stealing millions and millions of dollars of oil per day. And to have Kuwait, you know, basically steal the sovereign state and the possessions of another sovereign country was completely illegal. And the United States went, basically within days of that conflict, said, hey, we have no interest in this. Let these two countries settle it between themselves. And what happened within a matter of 25 to 30 days after that, it was an all-out war.
Right.
So, you know, I really don't know what to think of today. One would call upon the higher angels of common sense, but 99.9% of the time we find that simply doesn't work in the psychology of, as you say, bankers of the people that are actually moving the chess pieces around the board. We don't know the psychology because they're so perverse, and they have no regard for human life. They do what they want at a whim. So anyway, I know that's a loaded answer, but I guess that's my take.
Thanks for that. Josh, what's your take on it?
Well, I absolutely agree that with Chris there, you have a whole lot of, I mean, there's so many things at play here historically. You know, historically, they haven't ever ceased being at war in a technical sense, but you have you really have so many other players involved in the industrial military. It's not just state versus state, you know, and this is one thing that I think the world's really waking up to. And I think, you know, Smedley Butler said it well, that, you know, war is a racket. And really follow the money, folks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah. Don't just look at this ridiculous thing as some political game. Oh, you know, they don't like our freedoms, or we don't like their strange communist way of marching thousands of people around for someone's, you know, for the leader's birthday and having them do jump through hoops and stuff. You know, these sort of ridiculous pony shows they have. In these countries, let's have a look at it politically. It really is, let's follow the money.
Yeah, yeah, no, so true. Now, look, I'd like to get on to some subjects more closer to home, and, you know, closer to the really important questions of the quality of our own lives and our own freedoms. So I'm just going to move on with some stuff relevant to that. Now, guys, earlier I played a clip from that was just released in the last couple of days from a guy who went through the TSA sort of, you know, grilling at an airport. I think it was Cincinnati in the US. And yeah, sure. I don't know if you got a chance to listen to that one yet, Josh, but this guy demonstrated that you can actually, by force of logic, he got out of there without being touched and without being scanned.
Yeah, but what a headache. I mean, 2 hours?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't
reasoning with these guys.
I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, believe me. But it's a really interesting demonstration of something very important. I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah, well, it's what it is it's breaking down these fallacies. Well, you know, he used constitutional law. The problem is that the airports aren't on American soil. And so, you know, there's little mini loopholes here and there. And the problem is you have to be very well versed in constitutional law. Plus, you have to, by chance, get officers and TSA workers that aren't ridiculously aggressive, which, and he happened to get that sweet spot where the workers were sort of like, oh, this annoying guy, you know, yeah, and they sort of, and but he was very good. He talked to it, talked through it very calmly. He said, you know, well, what are my options here? And the officer tried to get him, you know, the TSA worker, sorry, tried to get them all a bit more angry and riled up, but he always kept his calm and said, look, I'm just trying to get my least invasive option going here.
But you know something I found incredible, Josh? There was a point there where he was arguing with the TSA and he was saying, so am I detained? And they were saying, no, you're not detained.
Yeah.
And then he said, well, if I'm not detained, then I'm going to walk out. And they said, you're not allowed to walk out. You'll be arrested. And so he said, well, I am detained then. And they said, no, you're not detained.
Yeah, because they're not allowed to detain people without, see, constitutionally, you're not allowed to detain someone without, you know.
So it was really a Kafka-esque word game going on there. You know, they were saying you're not detained, but the technical definition of detainment was exactly what they were doing.
Yeah, it's ridiculous because what happens in this sort of scenario is that you can do one thing and say the other, and legally, you know, they think they're getting away with it. But I'm sure if they took him to court, if he tried to sue the TSA, they wouldn't get away with doing something and then not calling it what
indeed.
It is. And that's,
now, know. Chris, you're heading back to the US soon. Are you feeling good about this?
Well, it's somewhat concerned. Good question, and I'm glad you asked that.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, when I flew out here, I drew two points through left Oklahoma City. They have yet to have a scanner installed there.
Okay.
They are due to have them brought in after the first of the year 2011. Denver, for some reason, did not have them installed. I was quite surprised. And then LAX. LAX seems to be an airport in disrepair and actually going in reverse as far as technology. I was quite surprised that there were sections of that airport that I swear were out of a 1960s movie. They had yet to come up to speed on all levels. There's no consistency at that airport, so I wasn't surprised that they didn't have the scanners there. But I believe in Miami, and I know Chicago has them, and I believe in Seattle, SeaTac has them. So there are a handful of major airports in the U.S. One of the two major airports in New York has them, I believe, JFK.
Right.
But having said that, I'm concerned, and I will refuse to go through the scanner, and I will refuse the pat-down. And on the same vein as the gentleman from Cincinnati, I will pull the supervisor aside and pretty much ask them, you know, and I was even talking about this with my girlfriend here. I said, look, there's two ways to handle this. I can get violent, I can get belligerent and demonstrative and probably be taken into custody and be slapped with charges that are completely erroneous, or I could simply pull the supervisor aside and say, look, if your boss was going to ask you to rob a bank, would you do it? And obviously the answer would be no. Or would you traffic cocaine or illegal drugs? And the answer would be no. And he says, well, why would you commit a perverse act on the, you know, sovereign citizen of the United States, such as myself?
Mm.
Put them in the corner, paint them in the corner and put them on the spot and have them realize that they're doing something not only illegal, but completely idiotic, if not immature and completely stupid.
Yeah, and that sort of, Socratic method of questioning is just a wonderful way of letting them answer the ridiculousness of the situation.
Good point, Josh. Yes, I agree.
Now, of course, Chris, you're a U.S. citizen. What do you think that, a visitor to the U.S. ought to do? Because I'm actually planning a trip to the U.S. soon, and I'm trying to decide how I should conduct myself, because I don't think we as visitors to the U.S. necessarily have the protections of the Constitution. And I think we've got to be doubly careful.
I don't know how they refer to it here in Australia as your Home Secretary or the State Department, but you are a sovereign citizen of another country. As far as your obligations to go through the airport scanner. You'll have to check with the Australian Embassy, but I don't believe you're obligated to go through that. And, you know, granted you are in transit, but you do have your rights.
Right.
And I would definitely check with the Australian Embassy before you leave to see what rights you have, and then you're welcome to present those rights to the TSA. They're not an employee. They're not part of the sovereign country of Australia. So I think you have some very credible loopholes to exercise and to go through, and you should check on those.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
what I find incredible is that they're saying that Muslim women don't have to get the pat downs because of religion.
Well, in Afghanistan, yeah, that's definitely true. They stopped doing full pat downs years ago because it was considered it was causing problems with the military. You know, it was just causing too much friction. No pat downs in Afghanistan.
Here's an interesting twist, gentlemen. I just found out from a colleague of mine in Oklahoma City through a Facebook contact that the Oklahoma City is actually what they call a third-tier airport. Your first tier, like Chicago and Atlanta and L.A. and New York, Miami, and second tier would be Dallas and Seattle and so forth. Even though it's their third-tier market, they still have a lot of traffic going through, a lot of direct flights to both coasts, east and west, since it's geographically in the middle of the U.S. But they're not obligated under contract. The airport authority, just like a tollway authority, anybody else, they're not obligated to hire the TSA. In fact, the head of the airport, and is quoted on their website for the airport in Oklahoma City, is considering firing the TSA, not renewing their contract, and getting a private service in there. So, you know, good for them. And they have that right to do that. So, I mean, a lot of people aren't aware of that, but that is an option a lot of airports are looking now, because they will get themselves tangled in a tar baby of lawsuits that are just going to be overwhelming and way too expensive for the board to cover. They certainly don't want to walk down that path. So
yeah, and this is one thing that I've said to friends as well. You know, I have no problem with a private airliner offering the option to say, hey, we take security very very seriously, and we pat down everyone and x-ray everyone that comes onto our service. But, you know, you have the – and then you'd have competition that would say, hey, guess what? We don't do any of that. So if you want to take a bit more of a risk, so, you know, in brackets, with your life, then you can choose our service. And you can tell – right now, I mean, I'll just be flat out honest, the service that's sexually assaulting everyone to get on their planes is going to go bankrupt.
That's a great point, and I think that's you know, this competition, very competition, and to see the most recently was last, I believe, a week and a half ago, the head of one of the largest tourism lobby groups in the United States, plus several pilots, airline pilots association union association heads, met with the director of Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano, and they said, look, we're losing literally $40 billion a year. This is what we anticipate within the next two calendar years. And you can look us straight in the face and say, you know, this type of screening is okay. When we have walkaway business, it's going to number about half of that, $20 billion. People just simply won't use the airlines anymore. And she looked at him and said, you know what, we're going to do it anyway. The audacity and the arrogance of Ms. Napolitano to think that the pat-down and the scanning is good is just, that's completely ludicrous. She is not using her head. And there's no common sense at all there whatsoever.
Yeah, well, you know, I've had it. A lot of different ways are coming out of the woodwork of how to defeat this. And, you know, some people are saying don't fly at all, and some people are saying don't, you know, do the screenings. And, you know, both ways, you're never going to get everyone doing one thing. But I think, honestly speaking, that not flying is probably one of the better things, purely because the muscle of the unions and the lobby groups of the airports, the tourism lobby groups, that the muscle behind them are a lot stronger than, you know, a few people, you know, not bothering. I can tell you right now, if the TSA say, oh, it's such a hassle having, you know, everyone that comes through doesn't want to do the, you know, opts out, so we have to do all these people. All they're going to do is employ more TSA officers to search everyone, you know, faster.
Can I just emphasize, guys, also that the pat-downs have been going on for years. I mean, so some of the worst cases are actually from several years ago. The one where a toddler was being squeezed all over his body, that was the child of a CNN reporter. That was from 2008. And the pat-downs are also occurring at Australian airports. I mean, I've got a story here right in front of me from a woman who's a reporter. She's a journalist. And I'll just quickly read to you here. The hands of women, young and old, middle-aged, they've all had a good feel of my backside. They've patted down my thighs inside and out, skimmed over my private parts while I stood spread-eagled, pretending they really can't feel my wobbly bit, pretending that this is not happening. Now, this is an article that was published in the Sydney Morning Herald about a week ago. With two artificial hips, I always set off airport metal detectors. My children know how to stand aside and grab my handbag from the scanner's conveyor belt and wait while their mother is frisked like a criminal. Now, she goes on to say here, I hadn't considered it to count as sexual assault until an incident at Gold Coast Airport, that Gold Coast is in Queensland, it's a major tourist place here in Australia, an incident at Gold Coast Airport on Sunday night, the woman doing the frisking patted the front of my vagina. So, I just want to emphasize, we are in big trouble. Like, it's not like it's coming next week. It's already here. It's already started. I mean, the erosion of people's basic dignities started a long time ago, folks. And this is what really concerns me, and it really does concern me deeply.
Yeah, one thing I'd ask, Chris, so, you know, TSA is obviously a federally funded organization. So it's funny that, you know, some airports have them, some don't, some have a little bit of security. So it just seems inconsistent.
Well, I found out that actually that's true in a small part, but the funding for the TSA comes from a lot of the taxes that are the revenue that's actually tacked on to the cost of the tickets. If you get online and just see the amount of tax as opposed to the actual cost of the fare, it's amazing. The lion's share of that tax goes to fund the actual TSA. It's basically, all right, if you're going to have TSA at your airport, this is what it's going to cost.
Yeah.
The fallacy is a lot of the airport board members, and it's finally waking up in Oklahoma City, and there are several other, I believe, Tulsa and some other airports in Texas are saying, you know what, we're not mandated to do this. We have an option to get out. We're wasting not only the travelers' money, we're wasting our money to employ these people that simply aren't respecting the letter of the law, the rule of law, and the rights of the citizens. So,
yeah, absolutely.
It's a quagmire.
And listening to this gentleman who managed to get out of both the backscatter virtual strip and also the pat-down is that you know, the TSA officers plus the police really don't understand the law either. They don't understand how far they can take it or what. All they know is if they don't go through the machine, then they have to get pat down. If they don't get pat down, then they get arrested. And it's just, you know, they obviously, if someone knows the law, they can definitely get around that because it's just unlawful.
Sure.
Well,
go ahead, Edward.
Well, I just also want to point out that in Melbourne, they began scanning people at train stations earlier this year. Now, you know, I don't think that's lawful, but they're just doing it. I mean, they were doing it in February earlier this year, and they were doing two types of scanners. One was just the standard walk-through scanner, and the other was the wand scanner. Now, they don't have the backscatter or the millimeter wave yet, but you know, they're coming, they're on their way, they've been ordered for the airports here, and they've already demonstrated they're going to do it at train stations in Melbourne. I just, you know, it's like we're in Nazi Germany in 1936. I don't know, like it's already happened, and no one has actually made a huge stir about it here in Australia. There is no movement, at least in the US. You've got the We Won't Fly group and stuff. We've got nothing. There is not a murmur of protest.
No, and this is the thing about Australia, Chris, that you might see as you're over here. We really have no history of, for the love of liberty, that goes on further than, you know, I mean, you do a little bit, but really not like America, who have this inbuilt libertarian culture. Australia, we've just always just gone, you know, we just get walked over.
Hopefully, it's radio shows like this that may spur the movement and light the spark. You have every right to hold on to your rights, regardless of if you're under the thumb of the British Crown. And it's an inherent human right. And I think that people should exercise it, as best as they can in a legal sense. So, I really congratulate Harewood and Josh and both of you guys and your colleagues for doing what you're doing. You have to do it.
You know, exactly. Chris, there's a practice that the police do here. I'm not sure whether it happens in your neck of the woods, but the police have a practice here where they use dogs and they walk into drinking establishments, bars and pubs, and they'll take these big dogs into these places, and the dogs will walk around inside a place that's actually animals are prohibited from there by law due to health department regulations. You know, if you try to bring a dog into one of those places, you'll be kicked out or arrested. But the police come in with these big dogs and they just sniff everyone. They'll walk right up to you and sniff up right up between your legs.
Jeez, that does sound like the brown shirts out of Nazi Germany in the 1930s and 40s. That's abhorrent.
Happening in Sydney.
It's for drugs, you know. They say, oh, no, it's for the terrible scourge of drugs that's around. And I'm thinking, well, look, I can understand if there's some, you know, cocaine fiend in the pub throwing, you know, smashing people over the head with glass and gone a bit schizo and crazy. But,
right.
But, you know, then bring in some force, help us out. But I just, if someone's got some useless vegetation in their pockets, or some harmless vegetation in their pockets, really, it's not doing any harm. In fact, the harm is being done by the police just coming in, sniffing people's crutches for no reason, because it's a psychological harm.
Exactly, and it's absolutely ridiculous what they're doing. There's no reason for it. It's way over the edge, and it's uncalled for.
Yeah.
I think those powers were actually brought in. I was told by a lawyer that those powers were brought in as a special set of laws just before the Olympic Games in 2000. We've had all these special case things where they've just brought in new laws for a special event, but whenever they do that, they stay permanent.
Yeah,
they never rescind them. There is no grandfather. There is no sunset clause on them.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, it really is. And not only that, the hardware that the enforcement agencies get for these special events is astronomical, and then you know, of course, it just all this hardware has to be used at some point.
Absolutely.
You guys bring up a very good point. During my research for the Oklahoma City case, and I don't know how we're doing on time here, Harewood, so please interrupt me if necessary.
No, you're fine. We've got another 10 minutes. Yeah.
The funding just flowed into Oklahoma City and that part of the country for federal programs that are completely erroneous even to today. It's, for lack of a better term, overkill. There's no reason to have all of the manpower, all of the hardware, and armored personnel vehicles parked at the federal building, just catty-cornered from where the old Murrah building stood. Come on, guys. There's no common sense. There is no plan of execution on this. As they say, there is no there are no rules of engagement. You just walk in and at a whim you can do what you want. And then if anything that even comes close to what is perceived as a quote-unquote terrorist attack is just overreaction. It's to the point of being, if it wasn't so tragic, it'd be humorous. So I know exactly where you guys are coming from. I've seen this happen time and time and time again, not only in Oklahoma City, but in Dallas and Austin. And they're trigger happy. They're looking for a reason to verify or justify their budgets, which are way overblown and bloated beyond reason.
Yeah, and it's part of, you know, they call it the industrial military complex, but it's the industrial policing complex as well, because, you know, a lot of these companies that are making this hardware lobby like crazy and then say, look at the dangers we have with the Olympic Games and all this stuff, and so the taxpayer forks out so much money, you know, basically works their life to pay off a new control grid that's set in place to control the people that are paying for it.
Sure. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I said it before on the last show, but really, you know, if people just keep on screaming for security, people keep on asking for security, you end up with with maximum security. You end up living in a maximum security prison.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, the good ironic twist to this, gentlemen, is that this radio show is going to come back to the United States through the benevolence and good fortune of a network in Austin, Texas. People in the U.S. will see what is going on here in Australia, not only realize that they could be at this point very soon, if not, even next year.
Yeah.
And they have to stand up and say, look, this is uncalled for. This is not going to work. Hopefully that belief and that fervor will come back over to Australian people, say, you know, we have an ability to exercise our rights. We're not going to stand for it here either. So hopefully the ripple effect will come back.
Thanks, Chris. And thanks for breaking that story. I haven't actually announced that, but we are going to be broadcasting via Austin, Texas, and it's really exciting.
Thank you, Chris, helped put that together, and Harrowood, and that is amazing.
We're really, really.
It's going to come back. I'm sorry, I put the cat out of the bag.
It had to be done. Yeah.
Look, the funny thing is that the thing that I like to think of is, you know, you always hear on the news that America is this ally of Australia, but they only ever talk about militarily, and they only ever talk about the two governments, which I see is more as just two mafias sort of got deals together to do shakeups of the tax, you know, the tax [S2] Sure. [S1] Cattle. But really, we do have an ally with the good American people as well, and that's where the people have an ally with the American people as freedom-loving people, and also with, you know, other people around the world that want the basics of human dignity and the ability to seek happiness in one's life and to trade with one another in peace without having some guy shaking you up for a cut and then using that cut to violently enslave other nations.
That's right. You don't want the powerful to have the monopoly, and unfortunately that's what's happening. So well put, Josh.
And look, you know, we also want to provide a forum so people from, you know, the citizens throughout the world, right, can have tools to figure out how they can regain their freedom. I mean, you in the United States have that amazing document called the Bill of Rights that you can refer to. We actually don't have a Bill of Rights. Now, we have to work out, how do we argue for our freedom when we don't have a Bill of Rights?
Mm.
And this applies to a lot of other countries too. But we have so much in common. And, I mean, all the people in the world have so much in common. We are trying here to work this out. And the principles of freedom and the principles of liberty, I think, were expressed so succinctly by the founding fathers of the United States that, you know, I think it gives us a lot of great inspiration.
Yeah, absolutely. They were geniuses.
The Bill of Rights is there in paper, but we've seen what happened with President Bush, former President Bush, and now President Obama, what they're doing just to completely ignore it. They have what they call signing statements. Particular law is signed into law, then the president can actually, in the signing statement, not only negate the law itself, but put in more egregious forms to make it even worse and take away our rights. So that loophole is existed for some time, and that's what folks such as yourself, Harrowood, and our colleague Alex Jones, and several other good radio show hosts in the United States are putting their feet to the fire and saying, you know, not only no, but hell no, we're not going to stand for this.
Yeah.
And it's really a sad state of affairs when the president has no compunction and no hesitation at all to do that. So that's right.
And I mean, there's just, you know, at the end of the day, it's just a piece of paper. It is, but it it can be used for good or evil, because now they're using it by saying, hey, anyone that actually refers to that piece of paper is a terrorist.
Yeah, which is ludicrous in itself, yeah.
And so what I like about what that document says is that there are basic human rights of people that people have. Like, you own yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You own your own body. Being,
that's right, just being a human being. These are your inherent. Nobody has any right to take them away.
Yeah, whether it says it on a piece of paper or not.
Yeah, and it's not subject to a popularity test. A lot of people might not agree with it, but it's you do agree with it. Now, this is where it gets tricky, because in a fascist-type transition to society, you can get a huge movement of people basically agreeing to do away with basic rights. But when you have this is I think where the problem lies, and we've seen it in many countries in the past that have gone that way, because the popular will can often lead to absolute, you know, atrocities.
Despotism, yeah.
So, anyway, look, we're almost out of time. Chris, you're heading back to the US soon, and I'm hoping to catch up with you there to kick off our show that we're going to be basically screening from Australia, and we'll be going through the US broadcast there. And of course, we're going to have a 1-300 call-in number for Australia as well. It'll be a live show. And you'll be able to call in from around Australia as well as from the US, and I'm pretty excited about that.
Amazing!
You're going to get a great audience there. I, having experience with that network over the last 3 years, and help expand three different radio towers throughout Texas and Oklahoma. The audience, and if I may just put out a figure, if you don't mind,
sure,
the
thanks.
Listening audience here, at the minimum, this was 2 years ago, was 435,000 listeners on the average per show through 19 different stations throughout the U.S., low power AM and FM. That has actually increased substantially. And with your show coming on, we anticipate to add on about another four stations. So it's growing at a very good rate. And people are going to be very hungry for your information and how things actually are going on here in Australia and around the Pacific.
Yeah, and I think it's beautiful because, I mean, when I went over to the States, it was very insular. It was all very American, and they didn't get much in terms of international perspectives in a mainstream sense. Of course, a lot of Americans are very, I mean, just amazing, intelligent people that can source other information for themselves. But the mainstream, I just found, yeah, it was sort of very American centric, and it would be. It would be wonderful to have both that exchange of American Americans calling in and having their perspective and us from our side, as well as from the Asian region, giving the perspectives down here. It'll be it's just an amazing opportunity for freedom.
I will definitely do what I can to help out on the technical side, and you let me know what I can help you out with.
Great, great. And, of course, you'll be returning to work on your film, which will be coming out in the following year, in 2011.
Yes, look forward to it. We'll keep you posted on that. Thank you so much for having me on here.
Absolutely. It's been
thanks,
great.
Thanks, Chris. Great to talk to you, mate.
Yeah.
Likewise.
Yeah, thanks.
Good night, gentlemen.
Talk to you soon. Thanks, Chris.
Until next week, folks.
It's been great having the pleasure of your company.
Yeah.
Stay tuned and keep up the comments and the all of the amazing information that you've been sending me by email. I get a lot of great emails.
Yeah, and tweet them.
Absolutely.
Tweet us.
Okay, well, it's good night from me.
Ciao.
Cheers.